Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask you to take this message and we ask you to really use it for the glory of God, because this is very important. It's going to be important to a lot of people that are here. It's going to minister to them in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. For those of you that are watching this excerpt, and it is only an excerpt on the Manifest telecast, we welcome you. At the end of the message, about 4 weeks ago, two doctors discovered something that they had been researching that blew my mind about the moment a person dies. You probably never heard this, and this was amazing, and you're gonna be pretty amazed at the end of the message. This is the title of our message today, Heaven, Departed Loved Ones, and After Death Mysteries. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 10. But as it is written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man, and that would be men and women, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, I want to awaken Christians this morning to truth and not just tradition. I would say something to us in the South. We learn what we learn about heaven a lot of times through gospel music. And you know that's true. And one guy wrote a song, and he had to be from Kentucky or West Virginia. Build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. No, honey, I'm not working for a cabin. I got a three-story one right here on the property. Give me a mansion. Does anybody want something a little bigger than a cabin in a room? But what I want to share with you, not as a rebuke, but as an observation, is many times we are laying up treasure on earth instead of treasure in heaven. And sometimes we're not working for an eternal crown. We work for retirement. And did you know there's people, as we know, that retire and get good money, but they don't really get to enjoy it in their latter years because something could happen. We are headed to a place we know about, honestly, mostly through the songs that we've heard growing up. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Some good morning we shall see Jesus in mansion. All that things we learn. Many times we learn it from songs. We don't think about heaven, and most of you know this is true, until someone dies that we love that ends up there. We imagine, and I think this is a concept that we got as kids, but we imagine heaven as being a place where we float around in the atmosphere on a cloud playing gold harps. Yes. Thank you for all five of you that believed that when you were growing up, that I got that tremendous response there. Now, if we say heaven, there are different ideas that people have. If I were to say heaven where God is, first, there's a group that says it's just a place somewhere in outer space at the edge of the galaxy. Others believe it is a floating city. New Jerusalem floats, comes down to earth, and they think that's heaven. It's really not a floating city. It will come down, but it's not a floating city. Heaven is not a floating city. In other words, somewhere floating in the, like Star Trek, you know what I'm saying? Most believe that it is a planet like Earth, maybe much larger, but it is located in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in the third heaven. And what I believe, and this is something I want to tell you, is this, that the original earth, the earth as we know it, created in the time of God, the grass, the trees, the birds, the fowl of the air, and Adam. If you look at the earth itself, it is really a replica of heaven itself. Because if you think about this, and I want you to stay with me here, the Garden of Eden. Eden is paradise. It's Eden. It's a garden, but it's paradise on earth. There is a paradise in heaven, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in the third heaven. And on earth was a tree of life. If you want to know what the tree of life is, it is a tree that produces, according to the book of Revelation, 12 different types of fruit every month. I don't even know what those 12 are. But when they ate from it, it kept them living forever in a physical body. It never aged. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'm going to find out what 12... God's going to visit me with an angel. I'm going to find the 12 fruit and we're going to mix it up. It's actually supernatural. But yeah, in heaven is the tree of life by the river of life. So in other words, what I want to tell you is this, that on earth, when God made Eden, it was a replica of what he had in heaven. The tree of life is on earth. The tree of life is in heaven. There's rivers in Eden. There's a river of life that flows in heaven. And we could get into all these different things. When they built the tabernacle furniture, when Moses built the tabernacle furniture, the tabernacle, the Bible says he patterned it after what he saw in a vision in heaven. There's a menorah in heaven. There's a golden altar in heaven, right? There's the Ark of the Covenant in heaven. So that's not the one Moses built. That's the one God built in the beginning of time. Moses had a vision. He copied it. And so this is very interesting when we begin to talk about heaven itself, because most people just think heaven, they see a throne. Over here somewhere is the New Jerusalem. But in heaven, there are four major sections that exist in the heavens. First of all, You have the courtroom, which is the area where God's throne is located. That's in Job chapter 1, verse 2. God, the 24 elders, Jesus, who is our advocate, holy angels, and Satan, even the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12, has some kind of access to accuse the saints before God. That's the courtroom of heaven. Secondly, is the temple of the tabernacle. Now, if you don't have my teaching called the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony, it is my opinion the second or third greatest teaching that God ever revealed to me, because it's only found one place in the Bible, Revelation 15 and 5. It is where the Lamb's Book of Life is kept. It is where the records of your life are kept. It is where your birth records, your death records are kept. It is where the Book of Tears is kept. It is where the Book of Remembrance is kept. And it is where the throne of Christ is, and it's where the Bema takes place. And it's all there, Revelation 15. You have to go through the whole book of Revelation to put this together. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in the third heaven is paradise. What is paradise? It is where the saints go. If you had someone who has passed away, and they're in heaven, they're in paradise. It's the Garden of Eden in heaven. It's massive. It's huge. People know each other. They see each other. They can communicate with each other. That's where you meet your family that has died and gone on. That's where anyone who has died that we know, mom and grandma, granddad, Bava, Uncle Joe, I could go through the list of all the, you know, grandma, grandma, grandpa Stone, mom and dad, Lulu, Bava, Lulu's sisters, everybody that's got right with God, they are now in paradise. And someone's, I used to say, Lord, I'd just love to see them in a dream. And I'm thinking to myself, really, they got me on their mind? Really? Huh? No, they ain't got me on their mind. You know, they're looking at this cherub that's got all kinds of faces. That one's got all kinds of wings. Wow, that's so cool, you know? And Emmy Piper, who was Bob Morris's wife, can I say this, Bob, publicly? She had $8 million worth of customized jewelry. Okay? Am I telling the truth, Bob? Raise your hand. He knows I'm telling the truth. And when she passed away, the family, of course, is very upset. And I said, let me tell you, with that jewelry she had an 8-carat tanzanite. She had a 40-carat opal with diamonds and sapphires. I saw it. She had $8 million worth of, there that go again. I got to quit doing that. $8 million. So funny. $8 million worth of jewelry, right? And I told her son, who was very upset, I said, you know what your mother is doing? Do you know what happened to her when she passed away? No, brother, tell me. I said, she walks up to the gate and she says, hey, look at that thing. Glory to God. That's a whole pearl. And she went to the angel and said, you think you can cut a piece of that out and stick it on that finger right there? He started laughing. He said, oh my goodness, that's mom. That's exactly what mom would do. So the righteous dead have been in paradise almost 2,000 years. Those who have died in Christ, that's where they're waiting for us. There's also martyrs in paradise. That's Revelation 6. And of course, in heaven somewhere is the city, New Jerusalem, where all the activity of the future will take place. Did you know the marriage supper of the Lamb happens in heaven? But do you know where it happens? It happens in the city, New Jerusalem. That's where the marriage supper is. Guess what New Jerusalem is? Ready? It's the wedding gift for the bride. Wait a minute, you didn't hear me. You're married to Christ. You're in covenant with Christ. Right? Right? We are the bride. He is the groom. So when he presents us, can you imagine? What'd you give your wife? What was the gift you gave your wife when y'all got married? Nice ring? Really? Jesus? No wonder they love Jesus more than you. Because you know what Jesus is going to give them? He's going to give us a city. 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles, and rooms to live in there, and banquet halls. Oh, you shouldn't be patty caking on that. I mean, this is a real deal right here we're talking about. So at the marriage supper, the groom presents the bride with the city, New Jerusalem. That's why it has to come on earth and be here permanently, because it's the wet. Boy, I'm preaching myself happy this morning, I'm telling you. Now, we're going to go a little bit deeper with this, with some things you may not be aware of. In heaven itself, the throne of God that God sits upon is the center of everything there. What is interesting is, in the book of Ezekiel, he describes it as being a huge sapphire stone. He sees him sitting on a sapphire stone. But it is also, later on, described as a color jasper, okay? Now, why does God's throne have different colors? Usually it would just be one color. When he's judging Israel, it's a sapphire stone. When he's judging the earth, it becomes the appearance of a jasper. When he is at the heavenly judgment, judging sinners and angels, it turns white, representing righteousness. I don't think he has 25 thrones, But I think the manifestation of it begins to change with the glory and the light and whatever is occurring. Now, here's a real good one. Y'all ready for this one? What does God look like? I remember going to Charlotte, North Carolina to preach many years ago, and I asked a student at one of the Bible schools, what does God look like? And he said, God has no hands, neither does he have feet, neither does he have human features. I said, son, I can tell you're early in Bible school. Because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ear is open to their cry. And I saw a cloud likened unto a man's hand. And God came down on Mount Sinai, and everything where he walked was a pavement of sapphire stone. I had a guy on my board that was a scientist, and he said aluminum oxide, when you heat it up to a certain temperature, turns into sapphire. And aluminum oxide is all over Mount Sinai in the rock. And when you take fire or heat, like a laser, he was a laser scientist. He was actually creating sapphire for the space shuttle wings. So if they come through with great heat, it wouldn't, you know, wouldn't destroy it. And he said to me, he said, when it says in the Bible, God took the fiery finger of his hand and wrote on the stone, all the Jews teach that it turned into a sapphire stone. So the Ten Commandments turned to sapphire. And so where'd they get that tradition from? They said, well, it's handed down way back, oral tradition in the time of Moses. But he said, theoretically, it happened. He said, because when you heat a laser to a certain degree and you take the aluminum oxide, it crystallizes into a sapphire. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. So God was so hot when he came down on Mount Sinai that everywhere he walked, Moses said, turned into the pavement of a sapphire stone. It's in the Bible. So what kind of throne does he sit on? One of the colors is, I saw him on a throne of sapphire. And guess what he describes him at sitting on that throne? You ready for the verse? A fire from the loins up and a fire from the loins down. So whatever God touches with fire turns into sapphire. Sapphire. All right. Now, God's appearance. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel has what's called a theophany. A theophany is a theological word to describe an appearance of God or an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. I saw a white, he's wearing linen white. This is Daniel chapter 10. He had a gold belt around his loins or around his waist. His eyes look like lambs of fire, okay? His face was like lightning. His arms are like brass, and they are the color of beryl, all right? Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, he has white hair, white garments, eyes like fire, face like the sun, feet like polished brass. That is the same imagery that John saw hundreds of years later on the Isle of Patmos that Daniel is describing in Daniel chapter 10. So it's the same person, right? In Daniel 7, it is describing God, and it says this, his hair is white. You know, I didn't used to like white hair, but when I get to reading these verses about Jesus resurrects with white hair, God has white hair, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to keep it like it is. I'm going to keep it like it is. Now, I'm going to just turn around. I'm sorry, y'all bear with me. These are my peeps, my people in the place. You see those nice curls in the back? The problem with having these curls is the kids want to pull them. And I was in Virginia last week with some people that were saved in my ministry. Three rows of people got saved in 1981. Now the grandbabies are there. Now the kids are growing up. And I'm talking, I feel pulling on my curls. And it's all, and I'm, okay. I said, I'm just hoping that ain't a female playing with my hair, because we're going to be, you know, we're going to stop that. And I turn, and it's a little Billy boy. He said, I like these. So I've decided, come on, where are my gray-headed folks? Let's keep it gray. Talk to your neighbor and say, keep it gray. Keep it gray. God has white hair. Jesus has white hair. The rest of you ain't clapping. We know what you got on your hair, so it's okay. You're not going to be lost because of that. It's all good, okay? So you see this, the white. You see the white hair. You see the white garment. That's very common. But here's what really gets cool. Let's put a picture of those stones up. Now, if you're watching, this is really cool. When you go to Revelation 4, verse 3, John starts describing a jasper or a sardine stone. Now, there's different types, but that's one of the main colors of the jasper. So when you read the book of Revelation, keep that one on the left in your mind. Then it says this. Now, you got, and by the way, jasper is the first foundation of the New Jerusalem. And again, there's different types, but this would be more of the type that would be a, we would say if you saw someone's skin, they don't necessarily look like that, but it's, you know, it has color to it. Now, oh, I love this. There is also a sardis, which is mentioned. Now, the sardis, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. The sardis, let me go over this again because I want to get this right. The jasper stone is Revelation 4 and 3, where he's sitting on the throne, which is a red blood-colored red stone, which is also called a sardis. And a sardis was Reuben's stone, who was the first son born. Remember, what did he say? I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. So some of these stones will be connected to the tribes of Israel, and there's a reason for it. Now, here we go. Ezekiel 1:27 says, I saw a man on the throne the color of amber. Now, he's describing his color. Put that back up, JG. The amber is on the other side of that one. See the amber? Now, to me, that is more of a kind of a not a flesh color, but, you know, you have the black, white, the Indians, the Jews, it's olive skin. It's, you know, when they say we're white, we kind of are white. Now, folks, let's look at me. This is white. Do I look like if I look like this, I'm dead. So, what would you call my skin color? Well, you don't have to brag on me that much. I won't go there. Okay, it's the last day, folks. I get a little goofy. So, the color of amber is also a reddish brown. So, in other words, Ezekiel 1:27 describes God as a fire from the Lord's up, loins up, a fire from the loins down. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29 says, our God is a what? Consuming fire. According to Deuteronomy 9 and 10, you have the commandments that were written by the finger of God. The fire of God produces, as you know, when there is a mixture of the aluminum oxide, it can produce, crystallize it and form sapphire stones. Okay, look at those two stones, because there is a mixture when men saw God. Because I always thought if God's a spirit, he's kind of transparent, you know, like a hologram. You know what I'm saying? Kind of transparent. But he is a spirit. Don't get me wrong. He's not a human. He is a spirit. But these colors are the colors. Somewhere there's a mix there of colors that when you see him, he does have color to him. Color to him. Now, are you ready for the revelation? I'm going to say this, and this is not a weird statement, but it's just true. White people think God's white. Black people think God's black. I know people that have seen angels that are black angels. They look like Africans, and they appear to them in that color. Jews are olive-skinned. I want you to notice that when you look at the color of God, he has his own color. Because it would be a little disappointing if we get to heaven and God is only the color of one nationality. You don't want to get what I'm saying. So we get to heaven and we look at Almighty God, who's not transparent, not floating around like a blob. He has body parts. Does this make sense to anybody? So he keeps his color in a neutral area, knowing that he's going to have the black, the white, the rich, the poor, the yellow. Come on, the Indian race. You're checking what I'm saying. We are coming out of every... Now, how did John know? Somebody said, well, I don't think color's going to be in heaven. Then why did John say, I saw them out of every nation, every kindred, and every tongue? If there's not some type of color that we carry, why would John say, he would not have known they were out of every nation unless there was an appearance to identify to them that they were... Preach on, Perry, I'm going to... But I think it's pretty cool that God chooses these beautiful colors of really cool gemstones and just says, I am God. There's only one of me. You're going to get it when you get home and say, oh my goodness, what Perry said. I just get it now, okay? Here's the third thing. Now remember, the heavier part's coming up, okay? The heavier part's coming up. So you keep following me with my teaching. God and light. Here's the verse, 1 Timothy 6:15-16, talking about the Lord, which in times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now I want to show you the verses, how light is connected with God. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 3, Saul of Tarsus said, I saw a light from heaven, and it blinded him for a total of 3 days. And in Acts chapter 22 and verse 6, he said, the light even shone around the men that were with him. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 2, Jesus is transfigured with Moses and Elijah before him and three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, on the mountain. And we read that his face did shine as the sun, and his clothing was like light. So we got light here again. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 3, Jesus at his resurrection, here's the quote, his countenance was like lightning and his garments were white as snow. Is there a theme that begins to develop here? Yes. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8 says this, that when Jesus returns, he will destroy the armies of the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. Zechariah describes it this way in chapter 14, verse 17. When the Lord returns, he will punish people in their flesh, human beings in their flesh, and their eyes will melt in their socket and their tongues will melt in their mouth. And 2 Thessalonians 2 is very interesting because it does talk about brightness of his coming, so bright. In these verses, and there are others that we could get into, it really identifies that Jesus, when the glory comes on him, there's lightning appearances and there's very bright light. Paul couldn't even look on it. It blinded him when he tried to look. I want to present to you the most anticipated ministry gathering all year long, the Awaken America Summit, featuring myself, Mario Morello, Lance Walnut, Joseph C., and Jensen Franklin. In my first message, you will discover the American Babylonian Antichrist cipher and how this ancient spirit is wreaking havoc on American politics and culture. In my second message, learn how angels and demons battle every 4 years for the destiny and soul of America before our election cycles. You must see the Hebraic letters, symbols, and numbers in the powerful message that exposes the prophetic mystery of the near assassination of President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, along with other amazing prophetic parallels. My fourth message was Heaven, Departed Loved Ones, and Death Mysteries, revealing new information and explaining how many mysteries seldom taught by pastors, including new information on what happens 2 or 4 minutes after the death of a person occurs. This is a very unique message. Now, I want you to experience the same excitement of the attendees when hearing and seeing Joseph Zeig explain the last day's apocalyptic foresight that he gave us in his revelation. Just a powerful message. This was followed by Mario Morello's explosive manifesto called It's Our Time Now. Jensen Franklin electrified the assembly of the saints when explaining how you must create your own worship to survive Satan's attacks. Lance Walnow then followed up with his famous whiteboard and taught on the anointing required to defeat the systems of this world. These unedited, now remember, they're unedited. You get them as they were preached. These 8 messages provide over 8 hours of exposés with powerful prophetic insight and practical teaching that will inspire, enlighten, and prepare, and also strengthen you for these last days. The CDs are the audio messages. The DVDs have the message and the pictures, the charts, and also important visual insights. These 8 messages are also available on audio flash drive for your car and also for your home computers. To order your 8 CD set, request offer 24 ME CD for a donation of $55 or more. To receive the 8 DVDs, use offer number 24 ME DVD for a donation of $95 or more. You can select the USB flash drive with the 8 messages by requesting offer number 24 ME USB for a donation of $55 or more. Call 1-888-21-BREAD or go online at perrystone.org. But you can also send a check to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320, and request CDs, DVDs, or USB drive. We are looking forward to hearing from you. There has been a lot of books written, a lot of songs written, and a lot of information that's out there about heaven. But when I studied this subject for the Awaken America Conference and preached it on Saturday morning, I wanted to take it from some different perspectives. For example, God and light. I took another area of the color of God. Can I tell you God's a spirit, but the Bible teaches what color he is? No, it don't. Yes, it does. And I even show you the color stones to give you an idea of when men see God, what his appearance is. There is so much in this teaching that is not in a normal teaching on heaven that you would hear a pastor preach. So this is part of our offer. You get all the speakers and you get our four messages that we taught. And once again, because in my teaching, I always use the scriptures on the screen, but I also use a lot of PowerPoint pictures to illustrate things and sometimes charts, maps, and lists. And it makes it nice for you to watch. So you got CDs, DVDs, you got flash drives, you've got digital downloads. You've got five different ways that you can order all of this conference. And I want to remind you again that our ministry does not send out letters asking for finances, and resources is one of the ways that we have to keep our ministry going. My budget, because people ask me sometimes, and I'm not afraid to tell you that we end up needing about $12 million a year. It's between 10 and 12. If we're building a building, it's much more than that. But $10 to $12 million a year in order to keep the ministry going in the 7-point outreaches. And I also want to add here, we have a great partnership program, and I'm so thankful for so many of you that have come to the conference. Our last conference, half the people had never been in a meeting with me before, and so many of them became partners. We have a lot of brand new partners. A lot of our partners, let me just say it this way, a lot of the people that have known us for years and a lot of our partners that are older have already gone to be with the Lord. We have about 60% of the people who've known us from the past and partners who are now in heaven. But I'm thankful for so many new people that are coming. We have a lot of Baptists. We have people from the Catholic background. We have people from really about five different denominations that stand with our ministry because they believe in the messages that we're preaching. And here's the thing. They see the fruit. They see the people being saved overseas. They see the videos being sent to us from television programs all over the world, from Russia, Ukraine, other places of people coming to the Lord. And so they see fruit. And the Bible said, by their fruit, you will know them. Not by somebody's opinion will you know them. Not by what somebody thinks will you know them. By their fruit. And I believe our ministry is producing fruit for the kingdom of God. And thank you again. And we'll be back next week. Don't forget to get your order in for this material. You're going to love it.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries, including Worldwide Evangelism, Feeding the Underprivileged, The Manifest Telecast, Creating Books and Media, Prison Ministry, and more. As a Partner Strike Force member, you'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live-streamed prophetic updates, partners-only tours in Israel, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.